Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday night. Friday, February the 9th, 2024, 16 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan and Carrington Nelson. Carrington, why don't you tell them what goes on during the break and all the drama that goes along with it before we get into the big subjects here for hour number two?
I don't think there's a lot of drama going on during the breaks. Everybody, you know, does the typical break activities, uses the restroom. We make some small talk, talk about what's happened throughout the week. We have to come up with a picture to take every week. And Scott always looks over at me and he says, okay, picture time, what are we doing this week? And he doesn't always appreciate my photo ideas. And I don't always love that. You know, I think that I come up with some good ones. Most of the photos that you see on the Facebook page are inspired from my thoughts. So I don't know why
you do things like that.
Yes.
There's a picture here that will never see the light of day.
That's a great photo.
Tell them what it is. They can't see it.
It's all of us just like peering over the side of the camera, like where we can only see our eyes and our nose, like looking down at the camera.
You can see up Carrington. And
you can see.
Scott,
yes, you can see up our nose.
They look like big black holes. Like
up your nose with a rubber hose.
Nobody's looking up our noses. So I just think it's funny. I'm just saying. Scott doesn't get my vision sometimes, so we have a little argument, but he doesn't come up with better ideas.
We don't have an argument.
You don't come up with better ideas. You say,
I
okay.
have veto power.
You say, no, I don't like that.
Say,
what are we going to do instead?
I don't think that's working.
And then I come up with another idea, like the like a picture of our feet, like with googly eyes on them. And
see, what are one googly of us, eyes? I don't even know what that means.
What do you mean? Like the ones that you glue on, like on a... on little
just
like
forewarning,
fake eyeballs.
Just forewarning though, when this show's over tonight, apparently we're all three going to go out and tear down the town. We've never done that.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Are you excited?
Yes.
Can you keep up?
It's RNO, Radio Night Out.
Yeah, but can you keep up?
Yeah, for the milkshake sneaking activity,
no!
I can keep up.
No, you seem like somebody who might not keep up when a party's moving fast.
What? No.
Yeah, I can see that in you.
That's offensive. I can absolutely keep up with a party.
That's offensive. I didn't realize.
That is a little offensive.
Is that?
Yes. I can keep up with the party just fine. Don't you worry about me, Scott.
Really? Because you always look like you're falling asleep.
Oh.
You always look like you got
well,
some... one of those numbers.
Yes, I might fall asleep at the party, but like I'm still there. Like if the party leaves and goes to another room, like I'll follow. I'll get up and walk into the next room and sleep on that couch.
What do you got, like narcolepsy or something?
Somebody's like, hey, we're moving. Like a month ago, I had people over and I actually fell asleep at my own party I was hosting. We were watching, I think a football game was the main prerogative of the party. And I think by the third quarter, I was lights out. I was like, this is good enough for me. And they had a great time.
See, this is what I'm saying. You can't keep up.
I'm still physically present, even if I'm not mentally present.
And I can't believe you jump on me for saying that you can't keep up. I think you might not be able to keep up.
I'm just saying it hurts. I think I can keep up just fine. That's all.
We'll find out.
You fell asleep.
Oh, let me turn. What's wrong with your mic? Did you flip it off?
Did I flip it off?
I think you flipped it off.
It's how would I have flipped it off?
I don't know what you did.
Hello?
You're not on.
Well, this is so unprofessional.
Yeah, what are you doing over there? Somehow it's off. Did you unplug it?
I mean, no.
Well, keep talking. We'll try to get you back on here.
We'll figure that out, bro.
Yeah, you are definitely off. That's weird.
That is, in fact, weird.
Yeah, what in the world would have happened during the break?
You missed that crazy thing that happened during the break.
Were you playing with the cord over there?
That was the other thing that happened during the break.
Yeah.
We broke Matt's microphone.
We've got nothing.
And radio silence. Ha ha ha. Because we're on radio.
Yeah, that is weird. Because it's not even... No.
Oh, okay.
Keep talking.
What was the question asked?
I don't know. Grab the other mic.
The question is about if I can keep up for our RNO tonight.
You can't keep up.
Do you think Matt can keep up just fine?
Well, I don't know. We'll find out.
That's true.
You fell. Oh, what I was saying.
Now we can hear you.
You fell asleep at the. You fell asleep when we were watching.
The Christmas Story.
Yeah, a Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Oh Lord.
That was early for me.
What a day that was. Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve morning. Nobody.
No, I appreciate your parents. You just were. You were a little.
I'm sorry.
Toward me.
I was not.
Nobody else. But you, you were harsh toward me that day, the Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve just. No, I think it's just you. It's not Christmas Eve. You just bring it out in me.
Checkmate. Case in point.
I don't know what it is about you.
What do you think that is? Because I like this backstory, because in the beginning you said, I can never argue with anybody older than me. Now, I am a couple years older than you.
Right, 28.
28. And you certainly, not only do you not have problems arguing with me, you enjoy it, apparently. Something is brought out in you.
I don't know what it is. I think that you just receive it well. You can dish it back. I like that. So I think that it,
what do you mean, you goofball?
What do you mean? What do I mean? Like, you're able to...
Irony's lost on you.
I'm
go
sorry.
Ahead.
I think typically you can receive it well. You can give it back well. I think it's a nice fun banter. We keep it going because everybody knows it's just for the laughs. That's what it's all about.
Because really... We all like each other.
Yes.
You couldn't do a show like this if you didn't like each other.
Right. So, it's just for the bit.
I mean, we've got plans. We've got trips. We've got things going on. There are all kinds of stuff in the works.
Yeah, we've got milkshakes.
You're really thinking about that milkshake, aren't you?
You know I love eating.
Why is that you love to eat? Did you develop a tapeworm when you were a kid or something?
I don't know. I don't think there's any specific reason. I don't, like, do you guys not like eating? I don't know.
No, eating's fine, but we don't seem to have the destination of food that you have. I mean, you come in looking for, like, you knocked over a box tonight. First thing that came in the room, you didn't even ask. Let's see if there's food in here. You're like an animal. You're like some kind of gopher or possum who comes in and starts, here's food.
I rummage through your trash and I eat whatever. I don't know what it is specifically. We don't have a lot of food in my house sometimes. Like, my parents aren't big at the grocery store. So maybe it's like, I think, do you get that thing?
Do you know you work in a grocery store? Are you aware there's food there?
I'm aware.
They sell food at that place.
I'm so aware of that.
I've seen you go to lunch. I wasn't going to bring this up, but I've seen her go to lunch. Like a woo.
What?
There's some food there.
What? Because do I get a lot? Or is it just...
Yes, you get a lot.
What?
You do.
Sometimes I, like, plan ahead, though. Like, I'll get things, and I'm like, oh, I can eat this for
like, you had a whole box of cookies the other day.
You can't buy just two.
Oh, like, you'd buy two if you could. Well, I know you want the whole box of cookies.
Okay, it's just cost-effective. It's like when people go to Costco, they're buying, like, their bulk bag of chips or something. It's like, I mean, they don't need that, but it just makes the most sense money-wise to do that, so.
Well, I'm glad you're efficient when it comes to money.
I am.
And food.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, the big subject that went on for days, it's going on for days here, shows upon shows upon shows, and it does involve Taylor Swift. Now, we all know very sadly that he was called an icon in several magazines. Toby Keith, country music star, died on Monday at the age of 62 from stomach cancer. And apparently, here came the controversy. You can't do anything in this world without Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift did not give an RIP. For Toby Keith, did not release any kind of statement. And apparently what we've learned is that she started on a label that he helped start. That was the connection. But they didn't see eye to eye when it came to politics and things over the last 20 years. So some people were angry that she did not give condolences when he died. So the question is, should he have? Should she have? Given condolences. Matt, we'll do ours first since we've done it already 1,000 times today, but why not one more time for the road?
So, I think that if you're going to give condolences, I don't think you should do it over the course of like, I don't think you should do it on social media because I think at that point it seems kind of fake almost. Like it was meant in terms for gaining a public view. But I think if you were going to give condolences, you would probably contact somebody who knows or like a friend or family of in this case, Toby Keith, and you would offer condolences to them privately because that means more than a public condolence, which could be used for just boosting public appearance.
I think they're just trying to attack her. I'm not sure why they are doing this all of a sudden. I don't know. It's the political atmosphere I think we seem to be in, but it seems like they're taking a lot of swipes at her lately that aren't really necessary. Like, she's going to endorse Biden at the Super Bowl, and this whole thing, you know what? She didn't see eye to eye with him. I think that's disingenuous to say something upon his death, because you you didn't really get along.
I agree. If she doesn't feel compelled to say something, I don't think that there should be some sort of obligation for her to make a post about it. Whenever it's such like a distant connection that he started the record label that she started with, like, I understand that, like, obviously he had some sort of small impact in her career then, but, like, the butterfly effect means, like, almost everything affects everything. So, like, you can't go around and expect her to give a, I'm sorry, this person passed away for everybody. So, I mean, if she didn't feel compelled in that situation, I don't think that's her fault.
There's a lot of people who I would not say anything about when they would, if they died. I mean, I don't think that's a big thing. Just because I knew them does not mean that I am necessarily on great terms with them now.
Yeah, but I mean, even if you're not giving a, I'm sorry they passed away, like, online speech, it doesn't mean that you're not on good terms with them. Like Matt said, I feel like it's kind of attention-seeking almost to be, like, obligated to post that online, like, to, like, show other people that you're sad about their death. Like, if you're really upset about it, like, I don't know, go to the funeral, talk to his family members or something.
Well, but when you're a public person, I think that's what they're waiting for. Like, I don't like the idea that people go to Facebook when you die and post a bunch of things. You're dead. See, once I'm dead, I'm not checking Facebook anymore. You really don't need to leave a message for me there.
It's just for other people. Like, I mean, it's just for other people to get on and see
that. I just pray to God when I drop dead that somebody deletes my Facebook immediately. Because I don't like that.
You just got to give somebody your login info.
Delete this immediately.
Yeah, do you have any other post-mortem requests from us? We can do that.
Well, I don't know that I'd leave you guys in charge of my death plans.
Gotcha. That's fine. I'm just curious if there was anything else you needed done.
Well, no, because I don't want anything done.
You just said you want your Facebook deleted, so...
Because I don't want that whole... I'm not reading that, so why say mean or good things at that point? And people are always compelled to say nice things, even if they didn't like you.
That's true. You can't defend yourself if you're dead, so...
Oh, I don't care about that. You're dead. I mean, really, that's the end of the line. You don't have to defend yourself anymore.
Yeah, I know, but if you're just trash-talking a dead person, it just seems rude.
Well, they see, I themselves. Disagree. Well, see, I don't think dying makes you a great person. I think if you were a nasty person in life, you're a nasty person in death, and if somebody asks you about them, I don't think you should be all of a sudden, well, death made you a better person.
No, I don't think you have to say nice things about them, but, like, if you're attacking a person that's dying or that died for no
reason. I don't think you should go out of your way to attack them.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think if somebody asks you about them, I don't think you should lie and say, oh, yeah, they were a very nice person.
No, I agree. You don't need to lie about it, but there's no reason to get on their Facebook and say, you're the worst at that point.
Oh, no, I don't think you need to do that.
But there's no reason to get on and say that you're the best either.
No, because that's not true either.
Right.
But it is interesting because I was saying earlier, there's somebody who I did this Friday night show with who, you know, I don't have any bad feeling toward, but because I don't have any kind of contact with them anymore, and I don't think of them as highly as I once did, that if they died, God forbid, I don't want them to die, but I would not say anything about it because I think that would come off very disingenuous because people know...
Disingenuous? Is that the word? Or yeah. Is it disingenuine?
No. Disingenuous.
Okay.
Because I don't have any kind of relationship with them, and it's not a... It's just not... We're not friends, so why would I say anything positive about them? I wouldn't say anything.
Yeah, and I don't think that you're obligated to. I feel like if you're going to speak on
that. But some people would think you are because they'd say, hey, man, he did a show with that person for 2 or 3 years. Why is he not saying anything? They died.
Yeah, but like, what's it matter at that point? Like, they already died. It's over. Like, if you wanted to tell them how you felt, you should have told them when they were alive.
Because when other people die... I mean, I have came on and said things, you know. I mean, I've announced people's death on the air who've been here. So with those people, you can be very honest and you can be very nice because you did like them. But if it's somebody you don't like, that's a little more complicated. Or if you had a complicated relationship with them.
Just don't say anything at all.
Yeah, because you're not going to come on and trash them, but... You do get caught in that thing where people say, well, why didn't you say anything about their death? And then on the other hand, if you do say something, they're going to say, well, you didn't really like that person anyway.
That's true. You're caught between a rock and a hard place.
So just say nothing.
Say nothing.
Which is what she did, and I think that was the right thing to do.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think she's obligated to make any sort of statement.
And by the way, the end of this whole story is the reason she apparently in a 2020 documentary for Netflix, she said that the reason her political activism started was when Toby Keith photoshopped the lead singer of the Dixie Chicks, Natalie Maines, into a picture with Saddam Hussein. Apparently that struck a chord with Taylor Swift, and that's where her political activism started. She didn't mention Toby Keith, but that was the incident.
Okay. So he really, like, spurred her to go in the opposite direction of
apparently,
what he had to say.
Apparently.
Well.
So there
yeah,
you go.
I mean, yeah, what's she going to say? Like, oh, he had a lot of influence.
Right. So what are you going to say? You going to lie? I mean, you don't want to smash him at that point. I mean, he's just died of a horrible illness, but also you really didn't like him when he was alive. So I don't think it's good to lie.
Thumper in the Disney movie Bambi said it best. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
You know, I always feel a show's not complete until we quote Thumper.
Yeah, I agree. So I'm glad we got that started.
We went from an interesting story in the first hour to Thumper. You know, this is very interesting.
I'm just saying. I
understand.
That's a good...
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-38... Did you just roll your eyes at me?
No.
You did. You watched her do it, didn't you? She rolled her eyes at me.
I didn't mean to.
Jeez.
I wasn't trying to roll my eyes.
Happened to glance over there for a second, and I got the...
I was not doing that. You always make things up about me, I swear. I'm going to start doing that to you. I'm going to say, Scott, did you just pick your nose and eat it?
We've got a third person in the room. What happened, Matt? I saw you looking.
So I can't directly see her eyes, but she was like kind of like, you know, wandering this way.
They were wandering. I was just looking around the room.
Yeah, I bet you were.
You know I love to look around and look at the computer screens and view other areas in the room. So it wasn't. It wasn't me rolling my eyes. I promise.
Okay. But whatever you say. 7-4, you about did it there. You tried not to. You
kept... Go ahead. No, I'm just looking.
Let me not move my eyes.
Yep.
All right. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. All right, enough of that. We've done that subject enough. Apparently, just stay quiet is the thing that we've learned. Now, this one, let's do Valentine's Day. We started with that tonight. Valentine's Day is coming up on Wednesday. It's a big phony baloney holiday, but if you want to get in good with somebody, buy them some flowers, get them some chocolate, get them a card, do your thing, and who knows, whatever. What do you think, Valentine's Day, Matt?
I don't like Valentine's Day. I think that Valentine's Day is a waste of a holiday.
There you go.
Okay.
Succinct.
Are you done?
See, I'm just doing a show.
I was just going to give my opinion, so...
Please, the floor is yours.
Thank you. I think that Valentine's Day is a little phony in the sense of, like, you shouldn't take one day to express your feelings towards somebody, and it's kind of silly that they're like, oh, here's your day to be grateful for somebody in your life and tell them how much you care about them, because then it feels a little forced. It's like, oh, I got them something because if I didn't get them something, we're going to get in an argument. Like... So,
but does it have to be somebody you're in love with? That's what I don't understand. Can it be somebody you love? Like, I think it's silly because in school, it's not people you're in love with, but you might love the person. I don't think getting somebody a Valentine is significant of love, in love. I mean, it could just be, I love that person. Why can't we do that? I would be more accepting of Valentine's Day if that were the idea.
We can do that, and I think that they do that, like in schools with the Valentine's Day
right,
boxes.
Right, but we don't do that. Who do you get a Valentine for that you're not in love with? Just like a friend. Who do you
get? Yes, me and my best friend. We're getting each other Valentine's Day, I guess.
Excuse me, I knew you'd have an answer for that.
Yes, of course.
Anyway, go ahead, Matt.
I don't get anybody a Valentine's Day gift.
No, but when we're kids, we do homemade Valentines. We buy those little things at the store. That doesn't happen when you get older. Unless you're in some kind of whoop-de-doo, it doesn't happen.
My parents give me stuff for Valentine's Day.
There's somebody who gets me something for Valentine's Day, but I'm not sure that that's going to be happening this year because we're in a little bit of a thing.
You're in a rough spot.
Well, I'm not. I think they are.
Do you get them something for Valentine's Day,
no.
Or is this one-sided?
No.
Okay.
No, I do not.
So it's like if they don't, they're a bad person. This goes back to the breakfast for 2 years thing.
No. You didn't want to bring that up. Now, here you go bringing it up. Throwing it in my face.
I'm just saying, I don't think that there was anything wrong with the person not getting you breakfast anymore. So, like, if this
we're not talking about breakfast, we're talking about Valentine's Day.
I know, so if this person doesn't get you the Valentine's Day gift, is it going to show their true character?
No.
Okay.
No.
I was just curious if it's the same situation or if it's just breakfast foods exclusively that bring out this opinion.
I don't think you understand the breakfast concept. Okay, let me break it down for you here. The person brought breakfast unannounced, unplanned, but obviously planned, every Wednesday for at least 2 years. May have been longer. And we never really talked about it. And it just went on and on. And I thought they were being altruistically nice. And I used to social media post about it. Because I thought, nobody is this nice. This is one of the nicest things I've ever encountered in my life. Because they weren't even there. I couldn't even thank them in person. Because they'd already dropped off the breakfast. Never asked them to do it. They never told me they were going to do it. It just happened. And I never knew what was coming. Sometimes it was omelets. Sometimes it was homemade banana pudding. Sometimes it was homemade strawberry shortcake with real biscuits and strawberries and whipped cream. And it was all this type of thing. So I thought, man, you know, this is a really nice act. And there's many posts with me saying how nice this person is. And then it stopped. But it stopped when we hit a rough patch in that friendship.
Right, so how is this Valentine's Day thing any different? Because you're hitting a rough patch in this friendship. And
we not only hit a rough patch, we hit a wall.
We hit a brick wall. They're not going to get you something for Valentine's Day. How is that different?
Because I believe now, looking back at the breakfast, that clearly there was a motive in that. And when the motive was no longer there, then let's stop it. I don't know that there's a motive with the Valentine's thing. I don't know that there's a motive there. I think maybe that's a nice act, but I think it might not happen this year because they feel that somebody's being mean to them when they're not.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's all about your perception of what the intention
is. No, there might be a Valentine on Wednesday. I don't know if there'll be a Valentine or not. There might be.
Okay.
If there is, I'll report back.
Yeah, please let us know.
Yeah, but the breakfast thing, that person went from great, in my eyes, a great person, to a real nasty, deceitful, devious person.
Oh my gosh.
Nasty, is that not deceitful? The essence of deceit?
Did they do anything else or just stop with the breakfast?
Well, no, I think they did other things.
Oh, okay. As long as there's more to the story. I was like, if they just got you breakfast and then stopped and your opinion went from great person to nasty and deceitful.
Well, because I thought they were altruistic. I thought they were just a nice person. You don't meet genuinely nice people like that. God knows you're not like that. So my point is people do stuff. You've never brought me anything. We covered this the other night on the television show.
If I literally brought food for all of us like 2 weeks ago. The shredded chicken sandwiches? You're
but those people. Came from your mother.
Okay, I still
thanks,
brought them.
Thanks, mother.
But, I still brought them for you.
But no, but this girl, this was coming out of her own pocket.
Okay, so I need to spend money on something and that'll prove
it. No, I'm not
it.
Telling you to do it. I'm just saying, not all people are altruistically nice. You don't run into those type of people. And she was, and I believed that. But I was wrong.
Whatever you say. Anyway, Valentine's Day is coming up.
Well, you know, I would like a homemade Valentine. I certainly don't want any type of relationship or whoop-de-doo, but I would like a nice homemade Valentine. I think those are nice. I think when people write a poem, put it on like a heart, doily, whatever they do, that's creative.
So you're pro-Valentine's Day. You want Valentine's?
Yeah, but I don't like funny Valentines. I think that's goofy.
Oh, okay.
I don't think you should be funny with that.
No jokes.
I think humor's always in good. I think
no, I think
I love the humor.
I think it's like a funeral. That's not the time to be telling jokes.
I think all times are appropriate for jokes.
I don't think so, because the perception of that could be bad.
That you're like joking about caring about them?
Yeah, because a lot of times the way you mean something and the way it's interpreted is bad. I'm just saying for myself.
Everybody needs to stop adding so much extra interpretation to...
Listen, I sent a wedding card once that had no interpretation in my mind, and all of a sudden it was World War III.
I know, and obviously that wasn't your intent. I feel like people really read into things sometimes whenever it's like, no, maybe they were just being silly. Like, there's no malintent. Don't try to make it something it's not.
Yeah, but again, this coming back to this death thing, I think we need to tell people at times how we feel about them, and I think Valentine's Day is a good time. It's all about the heart. It's all about how you feel about somebody. It's not a time to be... Wait for April Fool's Day if you want to tell a joke. And this is a good time to do it, and it doesn't have to be somebody you're in love with, just somebody you care about.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like I said, I'm getting a gift for my best friend and my parents, probably.
That's nice.
So, yep.
I don't think I'll get anything this year because, you know, things have hit a patch, but I think that's what you should do. What do you think, Matt?
I think that Valentine's Day, I think that it It used to be more about the whole who you care about, who you love thing, but then I think it has gradually become more just spending money.
It's relationship driven.
I think it's just become spending money on the relationship that you are currently in, and it just tries to capitalize on that.
But isn't that really false? I mean, show up on like a Tuesday in April with something, then you're a good person.
That's what I'm saying. That's like, I like Valentine's Day and the concept behind it, but like, it shouldn't just be like, oh, it's Valentine's Day, here's your obligatory, like, yeah, like I care about you gift.
Yeah, like
obligatory?
That's a word, obligatory? Obligation? Obligatory?
Okay. What do you think, Matt?
I think it.
You think it's an obligation?
Kind of like she said, it.
Obligatory.
It, like, adds an obligation. It forces almost an obligation for anybody who's in a relationship to get their significant other a gift.
Right, and I think that's really phony. It's like the sweetest day that they pop on you in November. It's like a birthday. It's like an anniversary. You're supposed to do things on these dates, but do something out of the blue.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Have you guys seen how crazy Kroger looks right now? Like, with the Valentine's Day stuff? It is more decorated than it was for Christmas or Halloween or any other holiday. Like, there is so much stuff in Kroger right now dedicated to Valentine's Day.
Because it's a food holiday.
Yeah, I mean, and flowers, and we have the floral department, and there's a lot of balloons. It's just like, whenever you walk in...
Is it making you sad?
No, it's not making me sad.
You seem a little sad.
No.
You seem a little shaken by the whole thing.
She seemed excited.
Were you excited? Are you planning on getting something from somebody?
We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Excuse me.
That's none of your business.
But you just said you don't like that.
No, I don't dislike that. I just, like, I don't want it to stop there. Like, it's like if they're going to do something, like, nice, it's, like, kind of like your breakfast thing. It's, like, here's the day I'm going to treat you nice. Like, I don't want that. Like.
But don't you think they're doing it for a false reason? It's Valentine's Day. I need to do this.
So
you're between a rock and a hard place now. Squeeze out of this one.
No. I don't think
explain your way out of this one.
I will. I don't think it's for a bad reason. Like, it's like, obviously an occasion. It's like, you get people gifts for Christmas and stuff, like, or like their birthday, you know? It's like, you want to do nice things other than just the, like, times where you're forced to do the nice thing. So it's like, it's fine if you do things on the nice day thing. Like, I'm appreciative of that. That's so sweet. But, like, I just don't want it to be like, okay, I'm going to go back to regular life.
No, but people love the flower delivery on Valentine's Day. Send it to their work. Don't send it to their house because people want to get it.
Right, you have to get a public appearance.
No,
with the
look, everybody. Oh, come on.
Oh, my gosh.
That's so pathetic.
I actually don't like that. I would not
like
that.
I think that's a pathetic person. I look at them and I think you need help.
It's like, who's it from?
I say that's sad. That's so sad that you needed to put this public display of affection in front of all of us for whatever reason.
Okay, but maybe their significant other sent it. It's not their fault.
Right, and they have to show off. I think that's...
Maybe they just wanted to, though. I think
they want to show off. I
agree
with
that
you.
It's a little,
I agree with you.
It's a little strange. It's like, okay, did we really need the whole presentation? Like, we get it. They love you a lot. Perfect.
Right. Don't we already assume that they probably love you if they're dating you, are married to you? Do we need this flowers?
I mean, I think that if somebody is getting you gifts on a regular basis, it's probably... It's probably not a true thing.
No, it's that the guy admitted it. Now we're number one. We're putting on the show.
You should expect it to fall off at some point.
It will fall off. It will. And,
okay,
and
they
then,
don't need to, like, buy you grand.
Then you'll have that
forever.
Moment on New Year's Eve where you get your grandma's cookies and the whole thing's going downhill.
No, they don't have to buy you grand gifts forever. Just, like, show you that they're thinking of you and care about you.
I think that is a grand gesture that's not normal.
What? Caring about someone?
Well, to say it all the time.
I mean, you don't have to, like, say it all the time. Like, there's little ways you can show you care about somebody.
Like how?
Like, if they buy you your favorite snack, or if they...
Money again.
Oh, okay, it's, like, not that much money to buy somebody a snack.
Yeah, but that takes a lot of work. I mean, again, that's a show. That's not normal.
People being nice isn't normal.
Not on a continual basis like that.
Whatever. We'll see.
Is it normal, Matt?
I don't think so. I think that, like, on like a one-off basis every now and then...
Yeah, you'll
like,
do it.
Yeah, that's pretty normal.
Hey, you didn't eat today. Okay, let me run in and grab you something.
But for, like, an every week, like, oh, hey, you want me to buy you this snack?
No, it doesn't need to be every week. Or, like, once a month you can do a nice thing.
Okay, it needs to be every week.
Okay.
Once a week.
That's true. And if you stop, you are a deceitful, terrible person.
I think you've got that all wrong.
You used the word deceit.
No, it is deceitful. But what I'm saying is that it's deceitful because they pretended like it was an altruistic act.
How did they pretend it was altruistic?
Because there was never any, like, you do this and I'll do this while this was going on. And I didn't ask them to do it. They could have stopped at any point.
And then they did, and you said that they're deceitful.
But their stop point was when things got ugly.
Oh, okay.
That's
like
why
the other
deceitful.
Things. Do you want to
yes.
share what happened? The other details of the story?
Well, it wasn't big.
Well, what else happened then?
We decided that we should not be talking anymore.
Oh. Okay, I mean, so you guys didn't come to
a
agreement.
They didn't have much of a personality to begin with, to be honest with you. Talking with them was never that much fun. They were a little dim. They were dim bulb.
Honestly, you're being a little deceitful by talking to them for 2 years then. They were a dim bulb and you just kept it
they
going
were
for
a dim
2 years?
But they said they were a dim bulb in front of me many times. They'd say, you know, I don't have the best brain. I'm not that smart. And I'd say, well.
What do you say in that situation?
Well, you don't say anything.
I hate that kind of thing whenever people are like, oh, woe is me. Like, I'm
oh,
so
this
ugly.
Person was woe is
nobody
me.
Nobody likes me.
Oh, this person.
Dislike when people just like bash on themselves because you know they're like fishing for a compliment almost.
Yes.
If you compliment them, you just kind of gave in to the whole fishing for a compliment thing. And if you don't and if you agree with them, then you're rude.
Everything so was a catastrophe with this person. Everything was a catastrophe. If one bad thing happened, the life was miserable. This person actually told me at one point that their life was not like my life. Their life wasn't good. and like trying to guilt trip me for having a positive outlook on life.
Well, you're happy every day.
And I felt like, listen, I'm as depressed as you, really. No, I mean, they said that to me.
Like,
at one point.
My life sucks too.
But I'm sure.
Don't worry.
I'm sure they're doing fine now. I'm sure their life finally picked up. But no, I'm so. Come on.
Yeah. So you kept that up for 2 years.
I kept it up because
like,
I wanted to be nice to this person.
Because their life was so sucky.
They said that. I didn't say that.
Right. Right. But
so
you
don't
felt
put
bad.
That on me.
So
I was not.
Their guilt tripping did work in a way because you were like,
no,
oh, gosh,
I liked
I can't
them as a
person.
Hanging around them was okay. I did not mind that. I liked their dogs.
Okay.
But I did. They had. There's always a problem across this table, no matter what's going on.
What's Matt doing with his feet right now?
Like, I don't.
Why
he's
just
got
pull
the restless.
That off
he's,
with your feet.
He's got the restless leg syndrome.
I just kind of moved my leg.
Oh, there's restless leg syndrome
fell.
Over there. But no, they had very nice dogs. That's what I can say about
dogs
them.
Dogs are always good.
I'd say that if they died. I'd say they had very nice dogs.
Is that what you'd say about me?
I don't even know if I met you. Oh, yes, I did meet your dog. Oh, I was trying to block that out.
I like dogs.
Yeah, you guys had a great encounter with my dogs.
The dog wasn't bad. It was the nasty comment you made while the dog was there that was bad.
It wasn't nasty. She just has a
sense. Tell people what you said. People are going to take on the Christmas Eve morning, on the eve of the birth of the baby Jesus. This is what you say to me.
I said that she can sense when people need love.
In front of a group of people, you say this. And I actually had to come up out of my seat and say...
You rose.
Yeah,
with big eyes and stared at me.
I said, I can't believe you just said that during the movie.
Yeah. Yep.
See, you were one of those people.
Chest.
And you wonder why.
Wonder why what?
We have this relationship that we have.
Oh, it was for a story. Look, now we've got to talk about it.
It's one of those...
2 months later.
We have a moment.
We have a moment.
But I'm telling you, this person was depressing. And God bless them. They just couldn't get it together.
Right. Well, it sounds like they were pretty pessimistic on their outlook of life anyway.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think they wanted to help themselves. And, like, in that case scenario, you can't really do anything if somebody doesn't want to make things better.
No. So, when you look at these breakfasts now, in hindsight, it was just phony.
It just sounds like they have other issues going on.
I think they
in their
want
life.
People to like them because their life is depressing. I think they should really see a therapist.
Yeah, do they want pity? Like, they want people to feel bad that their life's depressing?
I never could understand it. I could never really understand it. I didn't quite get it.
It sounds like they do need a therapist.
I didn't really care, to be honest with you. I would hang around with them, and as long as they were okay, I was happy. But then when they would get in that little, like...
Nobody likes me, woe is me.
Yeah. And it was just then, it was like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yes. So, now do you see the breakfast story for what it is?
I
see it now as a like me, like me, like me. And it, you know, it wasn't about me. It was about them.
They wanted you to like them.
Right. And that's a bribe. That's deceitful.
I don't know, though. I still think that you're, like, I don't think that that's what they were thinking when they were making breakfast. Like me, like me, like me. Like, maybe, like,
oh, I don't know. Who does that?
Like, dissecting the situation, maybe at the core of it, like, they were trying to win you over because they have some self-loathing issues and, like, wanted people to like them. But, like, I don't think that they were trying to be deceitful or scheming.
But, you know, then people came back at me for that, because after I said that, people said, well, they were such a nice person to do that. No, they weren't really. They were just being, I bet they're being nice to somebody else now. That's how this person operates.
Yeah, you didn't get breakfast one Wednesday and somebody else did.
And somebody did. That's just how they are. And I don't know what the break is in their brain, but God bless their heart.
They're trying to win somebody over.
I hope they do one day. They've won several people over.
Good.
Yeah.
Good for them.
They've got a lot of paperwork in their life.
Oh, wow.
A lot of paperwork there.
You know what that spells. L-O-V-E, love.
Exactly. When you get that paperwork built up. I feel by like your third or fourth marriage, you really should have worked out those kinks by that point.
Third or fourth? I think, I don't know. I think somebody gets three.
Three strikes.
No, I give them two. Two. I don't, no, not three. One can be a mistake. Two, okay, make that work. Once the second break, that's like break. You got this many arms. Once you've broken both of them, it's over.
It's more like a for me. It's like the first one, like okay, and then like the second one, I'll be like, oh, all right. But the third one, I'll start questioning you.
Yeah, but I mean honestly, like third and fourth, at this point, are you really worried? Why are you getting married? Are you really worried about living in sin at that point? You've been married and divorced four times. How many vows have you broken? How many commandments have you nailed at that point? I mean, let's get real.
It's not about sin at that point.
No. You just apparently like a lot of paperwork.
Yeah.
Maybe you like changing your name.
Yeah. Maybe you like just change in general. They're keeping it fresh.
Jeez. They've got more hyphens than some foreign languages, these people's last names.
No, you drop the ones once you drop the person.
I couldn't even follow all their names. Boom, 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 boom. You got to find them on social media. You don't even know what name to search. It's like a grab bag.
You're like, Ashley something, but...
Yeah, I don't... Well, now, which marriage is this?
You say, nope, not that one.
It's pathetic that it evolves to that, but God bless their heart. Anyway, I hope they do well. I wish them well.
I think that some people just you know, they just feel the need to be in a relationship.
To be needed.
They just have to do it.
Money.
That's what it's about. It's hard to live on your own if you aren't bringing in the money that you need.
That's true.
Yeah, you feel that you need to marry for a tax break.
That's not why I feel that you need to marry. I just said there's part of it. Like, there's something with, like, filing taxes.
It was one of the first things you mentioned.
I don't even know how it works, for sure.
I'll tell you what. Here, for anybody who might want to get you something on Valentine's Day, skip the roses, skip the chocolate, drop off, like, a W-2. And it'd be perfect.
That is not what I want for Valentine's Day. I've got my own W-2. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but you like those W-2s.
No, I'm good.
That gets you all warm and fuzzy on the inside.
No, I'm just
fine. Don't show me those flowers. Show me that W-2.
No. Don't show me your W-2.
You don't want to see the W-2. Don't. It's what it is.
No, I don't.
Moving on. To the next one. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody on Wednesday. Okay, this is a quick one because we've only got about 15 minutes left. About 10 minutes left here. Potential. We talked about this earlier. I think this is a broad subject. When you feel somebody has lost potential, what do you do? If you've been their cheerleader and they're just not getting it, what do you do?
I mean, I think after a while of, you know, trying to, I don't know, I guess help them along, do whatever. I think at some point, if they're not managing to get it, I think you gotta at some point cut your losses.
Right, and I don't think it's not even helping them along. Sometimes it is, but a lot of times it's just you think they have the potential to do more than they're doing. And so you tell them that, but after a certain amount of time goes by and they're not doing it or they're not getting it, I think your perception of them does change. And you go, well, you know, you may have had potential, but part of potential is showing up and getting it done, and you're not. So, you know, whatever. Hasta la vista.
I think it's just like that sometimes.
I think it is. But I don't think you can hope forever.
No.
No. What do you think?
I don't think it's something I worry about, really. I mean, I would give somebody a suggestion, or if they wanted my advice or opinion on something, like, I would give that. But like, I don't spend my time worrying about other people's lost potential, I guess.
Well, I think it's because I try to build people up if I believe they have potential.
Mm-hmm.
I go out of my way to say, listen, you could do something very good. Because not everybody can. I don't tell everybody that. But those people, I say, listen, you have a shot to do something good. Do it. Now, after a while, if you don't do it, my opinion is going to change. And I'm going to say, well, you know, again, 50% is showing up.
Why do you feel obligated to do that? Do you think it's because of your position, like, on the radio and... You feel like
to build them up?
Yeah, like drive to build other people up in this regard? Like, I feel like it's something that you're like worried about, kind of.
Yeah, I want people to. I don't think people achieve their potential.
Right, but why do you care?
Because I think I achieved my potential, and okay. I feel better for it. So I don't think I have to look back and have any regrets, and I don't think I have to look. And I think people believe they don't have regrets, but I think they will. So I feel you've got to, at some point, if you see something in somebody, you need to tell them, because nobody does that anymore. Nobody goes out. You used to have teachers that did that, who would walk and say, man, like if you were a good artist, the teacher would not tell everybody in the class, you're a great artist. They would pull you aside and they'd say, listen, you really have a talent. You need to go to art school. You could really do something with this. That gives you a pickup. That might be the moment. That, like the Taylor Swift Toby Keith moment, you know, who knew that that whole thing about putting the Photoshop picture together with Saddam Hussein was going to give her political beliefs out throughout her life. That means something because she's got her big group of fans following her. You never know what the moment's going to be with somebody that's going to change their life. And sometimes you have to go out of your way to tell them because sometimes they don't get it. And but how long can you wait for them to get it?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like there's just a lot of pressure to change your life sometimes. So patience is a virtue, I think, in that situation.
Oh, I'm okay with waiting. You don't have to do it overnight. But there become, after a certain amount of time, if you're not living up to it. Now, again, it's just me. It's just usually one person who says, okay, I lost cause. And you don't have to care about that. But eventually you get to that point.
Where the person, like, realizes that they didn't live
up to it. Where you realize that they just, maybe they don't get it. Maybe they're never going to achieve that. You don't always achieve it. Again, you have to show up.
Right.
And if you don't, sorry. Now, maybe you don't care. That's fine, too. But I'm just saying, from my end, if I gave you a put-up in life and I said, listen, you've got something there that could really, you could do something. Now, that's on you. You can do it or you cannot do it. But I'm not going to sit there forever and just wait for you to do it.
Okay. I hear you.
You don't think this, Matt?
I mean, I agree. I think that if somebody is not living up to their potential and you have told them that you think that they're not living up to their potential and they're not doing anything about it, I think at some point you have to...
Throw in the towel.
Yeah, you have to just... I mean, you have to cut your losses.
But I think it's sad that you think people don't tell people. That is a whole... That's a whole other subject of human consciousness. Why don't we tell people that? I mean, forget Valentine's Day and Christmas and all these things where we're giving phony gifts and saying phony things. Maybe not phony at the time, but I mean, we're doing it for a day's purpose. Why not on a Thursday say, listen, you know, you really have something there. You're really special. You know, hit the ball out of the park. Why don't we do that?
I personally don't think I'm very aware. I don't think I'd realize if somebody else had potential. I don't think it's something I think about.
I mean, I think a lot. I think it just kind of sounds cheesy for the people just kind of think like I don't know. It just people might think it just sounds strange to tell somebody they have potential. It sounds like such an like a weird thing to say to somebody.
Right, and I think that's the but it's not weird to insult somebody. This is society in 2024. I'll take weird any day over insulting. I like to tell people if I see something in, because I don't see something in everybody, I like to tell people, hey, listen, you got a talent there, do something with it. Because I don't think people believe in themselves. There's something wrong. There's something broke somewhere along the line where people are just complacent.
Do you think it's complacency or laziness?
Maybe a combination. I think some people get pigeonholed. I mean, if you have a kid or you're in a marriage or something like that, I think you think that's your duty. And that's what you're stuck with. And you can't do anything because you don't have the time.
Mm-hmm.
There's always time.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing you've got is time.
Definitely. But I can understand where they're coming from. Like, I feel like getting married or having kids does really, like, you're somebody else is dependent upon you, and like you have to consider somebody else's thoughts and feelings and like how your actions are going to impact them. So I can see why they would feel that way.
I don't know. If you're the smartest person in your group, then get a new group.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
If you truly believe that you're the leader there, find other people.
Drop your kids. Forget them.
Well, don't forget your kid, but I don't think that's your group. I mean, your group is the people you hang around with. If nobody's telling you in your group that you've got potential, then I think that's not a very supportive group.
Okay. See, I feel like most of the time, like, my groups have been people that are, like, similar in age to me, so I don't know if everybody's, like...
I don't think it has to be an old person.
No, I know, but, like, I don't know, maybe just, like, everybody hasn't been thinking about that in that regard.
I've told people older than me that they had potential. Because I feel life is slipping away from them.
And you're like, act fast.
I'm just saying, listen, I think you've got... It's not too late. Because a lot of people feel that, too. That the time has passed.
I don't think it's ever too late until it's too late.
And it's getting dark sometimes.
Yeah, did you guys see... I think, isn't it like Jelly Roll? That's like one of the singers, I think is who it is. And he was
like a name like Jelly Roll?
No, he was giving like a... I don't know if it was a Grammys acceptance speech, but he was talking about how he started making music when he was like 36 or something. And it's like a lot of people would believe that that's obviously too late and you're like later in life. But it's never too late to make change.
Joni Mitchell just got to perform at the Grammys at 80. First time ever performing at the Grammys was 80.
I'm not sure how old Chad is, but I mean...
Chad, not young, Chad Clark.
Yeah, Chad. I mean, Chad worked like a you know, an average like 9 to 5 like everybody else, and then until he got like bought out on a contract, and then he said, you know, I should start doing something with my music, and now here he is headlining the Palace.
Well, and people can do the math here, but Mary Ellen was not elected to her first office until she wasn't in her 20s. Let's put it that way.
Good for Mary Ellen.
And look where she ended up.
It's never too late to start.
No, and that's what I feel sometimes. But I know she had encouragement. I know her husband was very encouraging. And that is the number one trait in a spouse.
Supportive.
If you talk to Mary Ellen about her late husband, and I knew him, he was a great guy, he would be angry. He'd be angrier than she was if somebody was attacking her or if she felt she couldn't win a race or something. He was the one saying, you know you can do that. Go ahead and do it.
That's so sweet.
That's the type of guy I love that guy. He was great. So, Norm.
Yeah, so you think that they were they had a good relationship, right?
Yeah, but you know, if you saw, they weren't a lovey-dovey type, okay. Really. I mean, maybe they were at some point in their life, but when I was around, it wasn't going on. But he was a fun man. I liked him a lot. But he was very supportive of her. And I don't think she could have done it if he wasn't there. But you've got to have those people. Now, in her case, it ended up being her husband. But it doesn't have to be your husband. A lot of times your husband will drag you down, mm-hmm. sadly.
Mm-hmm.
Husband will be the reason it ain't happening. Can you imagine, though? I think about that sometimes. When you think about, you know, just people can do the math on their own. Because Mary Ellen doesn't like people talking about her age, which is apparent. And I understand that. But you can do 1969, she was elected to the Elgin School Board. Figure out what her age was. And I don't think you can, and 25 years later, she was Treasurer of the United States.
Got to start somewhere.
And at some time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all because somebody said, there needs to be a woman on the Elgin School Board. That's where it all started.
Okay, so that's like the inspiration moment of like, you've got potential.
That's
like,
it's the potential moment.
Full circle.
See, that, if that had not happened, she would have never run for it. She would have never got that job. And where would she be today?
You're right.
There is a pivotal moment for everybody. And I think she would say that was her moment.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that was her first like elected position.
But if that person hadn't said, you can do it. We need a woman. Would it have happened? Probably not. And that's, I don't think we do that anymore. I think in that time frame, we did do it. I think when I was younger, people did that. But I don't think we do it anymore. I think that we're very blasé with people. You know, like, it's weird to tell somebody that they've got potential. Think about that. That's weird to say in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird for me to tell you you're going to do good. Boy, that's a strange thing, because there's no chance of that happening.
No, I think the potential, it just, like, it feels like you're searching deeper into what they're doing. It's like,
well, you don't
like
have to
congratulating
say, you
them
don't have to say
did.
The word potential.
Okay.
But you can walk up to them and say, listen, you got something. You're a really good writer. You could write a book. Do that. Try it. If you don't succeed, okay. But if you do, great. You have the ability to do that.
Yeah. That's how I feel about being on this radio show.
Really?
Kind of, yeah.
What do you feel?
potential. It's like, oh, that's cool. I would have never thought to do this, but like, you know, this is an initial opportunity, so we'll see what happens.
But I think people are supportive.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, a lot of support. You got to have support.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that I do think there comes a point, not with you, but I'm saying there comes a point with people. Well, I just want to make sure.
You know how I am.
Yeah, yeah. I think there comes a point with people where if they don't take your advice, and again, not that you're the all-knowing, all-purposeful person in the world, but hey, you know what? After a while, listen, I can't back this horse anymore. I love baseball. I love going to baseball games. I think that's one of the greatest things to do. I don't care if it's the Clippers or the Reds or the World Series. I like going to baseball games. And you will see the manager walk up to the player when it's time to hit that. They're going to say, hit it over the fences. Now, will they? Sometimes they do. More often they don't. But the manager always says, you can do it. Hit it over the fences. Now, why do they do it? It's encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
It's let's get it done. You can do this.
Well, I mean, could you imagine if you were in the MLB and you got to the base getting ready to hit all bases loaded, and all of a sudden your coach walks out there and says, look, man, I know you're not that good.
No. But then just doesn't say anything. Because some coaches don't say anything.
This is like, have you ever seen the study where they'll talk to plants?
Negative.
There's two plants and that are like living in the same conditions, and like one plant you speak badly to and one plant you're nice to, like the plant that you're kinder to grows better. And I think
you know
it's
what's interesting?
Testament to kindness.
I don't know about that. But what I'm going to say is I have a poinsettia that I got on the day before Christmas Eve, and I really don't water this thing at all. I try to remember, but I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been sitting on my table. It's still alive. And very few things have fallen off this thing, and it's February the 9th.
That's crazy. Do poinsettias live like year after year?
You can keep them alive if you do special things, but I mean, this thing is still red. It's still got leaves on it. It looks like it looks like I've taken care of it. And I think I've probably watered it 3 times in the last 2 months.
Wow. It's a fighter.
I certainly don't talk to it.
Poinsettia,
you can do it. Aim for the fences, poinsettia. You can make it.
Speak kindly to your plants.
So we got a lot coming up in the next week. We've got Super Bowl on Sunday. Hope everybody enjoys that. The Swift Bowl. We've got Valentine's Day on Wednesday. Hope everybody gets something, you know, nice. Doesn't have to be from a loving person, just somebody maybe who you love. Hope that all goes well. We'll do a taping on Valentine's Day, and then we'll be back here next Friday night. We've got a lot of interesting stuff coming up in the month. I give you a little heads up tonight.
Yeah, for the what's coming up in the
what's
month.
What's coming up, and that's going to be fun. That's going to be historic for a lot of reasons. And we got some trips planned, and tonight we're going out on the town.
We are. Let's hit the town, guys.
But, I mean, are you really going to be able to hang?
For at least a little bit. I've got work tomorrow, so I'll give you like an hour or two.
Oh, excuse me. An hour or two.
Nothing crazy.
We'll just carve that out hour or two.
I have work tomorrow.
What time do you go to work?
9 o'clock.
No, oh, my gosh.
I need my 8 hours. I'm going to get cranky.
I think you were born cranky.
I
think
it's
a whole thing with you.
I am not cranky.
Hope everybody has a wonderful Super Bowl. Hope everybody has a wonderful Valentine's Day. And this was a good show. I thought this was fun tonight. I thought we covered a lot of bases and were very philosophical.
For sure.
Yeah. So, what did you learn quickly?
Oh, man. Today I learned
it was a lot of stuff. You learned how to break a mic.
Apparently, today I learned about that caller's
Oh, God. Don't say it. Don't say it. I can't take it again. But anyway, yeah. And we got to work on your restless leg syndrome. You got something.
I'll just start like standing, so that way I can like pace back
there.
And forth.
You're doing it again too. His legs are all up in the wires.
Well, I know.
You got
something wrong.
I guess.
When we were at the other store, you used to kick me under the table all the time.
I have to move. I don't like to just sit still. It bothers me.
All right.
I learned that Scott thinks that the 49ers have no chance. They're irrelevant in the Super Bowl.
I don't think they have no chance. I didn't say that. I think they're irrelevant.
They're irrelevant.
I think if they win, the story is the Chiefs lose. I think if they lose, nobody cares.
Yeah. It's what was supposed to happen. It's in God's plan. Or Taylor Swift
13, 13, 13, 13, 13. All right. Well, I hope everybody has a great week, and I will be back with you on Monday morning. Oh, we got a special guest Monday morning. You'll want to tune in. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but it's somebody who you'll want to hear from. So tune in on Monday morning. That's going to be a big show. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Scott Spears for Carrington and Matt heading for the dugout.
Our law enforcement officers will investigate every avenue to find you, and my office will prosecute you. Mr. Grogan continued, I'd like to thank Officers Kelly and Pelfrey of the police department for their diligent investigation at the scene of this crime. The collection of evidence in this case was pivotal and led us directly to Bertuzzi. I'd also like to thank Major Adkins, Lieutenants Fitzko, Kindell, Coburn, and Delp, Officers Kent and Malden of the police department for their work on this case. Victim advocate Deanna Moneysmith, as always, did an incredible job of working with the victim in this case to make sure justice was served. Finally, I'd like to thank forensic scientist Lindsay Dietz for her work. I'm also very proud of the work assistant prosecutors Allison Kessler and Justin Fry did on this case. Bertuzzi will be sentenced by Judge Matthew Frerichs at a later date. On Wednesday, February 7th, ...150 block of La Tourette Street as part of a two-week-long investigation regarding animal cruelty and neglect. As a result of this search warrant, humane agents rescued a total of 59 animals that includes the following: 8 canines, 4 felines, 3 rabbits, 10 gerbils, 1 guinea pig, 4 rats,